so again, I want to thank you for the invitation. Thanks to the elders here for allowing me to come, and thank you for the gracious love and response that you've shown to my dear bride. I've bragged about you for a long time, and now she is realizing, she's experiencing the things that I have told her about for many, many years, and I thank you for not letting me down. But we're not here for all of that. We are here to understand better how we can serve God and how we can please Him in what He's called us to do. Our world is an upside-down world. Think about that. You think about the things that are going on. Our world is, we live in a crazy time. Our world is a litigious society. Have you ever thought about some of the warning labels that are on some of the items that we buy? And those labels tell us how crazy things are. Notice some of these. Child scooter says this product moves when used. Or a electric blender warns, never remove food while the blades are operating. A flushable toilet brush warns, do not use for personal hygiene. I'm glad they put that there. I'd been in trouble. Or the label on a stroller says, remove child before folding. That's always good to know. We live in a crazy upside down world. But really what makes it so much crazier, and you probably have, you probably came across this several months ago, but a man decided he was going to sue God. Bradley LaShawn Fowler alleges that he's seeking $7 million from the publishers Zondervan and Thomas Nelson for violating his constitutional rights, he says, and causing emotional pain because the Bible versions they publish refer to homosexuality as a sin. And so he says, well, you know, I'm going to sue you because I don't like what you had to say. In fact, he's not suing the publishers. Who put that in the word? It wasn't Zondervan and Nelson, but rather it is God. And so he wasn't happy with what God had to say. And so he alleges that the Bible references to homosexuality as a sin have made him an outcast from his family and contributed to the physical discomfort and periods of demoralization, chaos, and bewilderment. It wasn't his sin that did those things. But rather, it was the Word of God that exposed his sin. And so he wasn't happy with what God had to say, so he wanted to sue God. What about the Scripture that says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites shall enter the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. And so he doesn't like what that had to say. And so he wants to sue God. There is another case of a man by the name of Pavel Marcia, who is serving a 20-year sentence for murder in a Romanian prison. He filed a lawsuit against God. And the charge was this: fraud, breach of contract, abuse of position of authority, and misappropriation of goods. that God, you said some things. God, you told me some things that just were not true, and I gave you my money. You misappropriated my goods. You really didn't follow through with what you had to say. He claimed that God had broken his contract with him at his baptism, that God had not kept his side of the bargain, that this is what God was supposed to do. He was supposed to protect me from all evils. Instead, he gave me to Satan, who encouraged me to kill. And so the devil, not only did the devil make me do it, but God made me do it. And so he was suing God. I tell you, this is a crazy time in which we live. These two cases, however, they may be somewhat lighthearted, but they outline for us, I think, two principles that we must not ignore this morning. And they are principles that we can find ourselves in, that we have a dissatisfaction of God with God. They are an expression of discontent. They are an expression of God. We really don't understand why you do or why you say what you say. And so we have a complaint against you. We have a suit. Now, we wouldn't use the term, "I'm suing you, God." But how many times have we blamed God for something? Or how many times have we had a feeling of dissatisfaction? And really, it is a suit against God. That God, we are blaming you for something. That we are saying that you are not right in what you have done. And so, if some aspect of our lives are in direct contradiction with the revealed will of God. But also, notice this. There's a delay here, isn't there? That they misunderstood by means of misrepresentation of men, or by their own ideas or inventions, the inclinations of what God should be doing. So the first thing is that some aspect of their lives was in direct contradiction with what God said. The first man wanted to sue God because he was homosexual. And he didn't like what God had to say about homosexuals and about that lifestyle. And so he wanted to bring a suit against God. And then the second man, he misunderstood what God said. That God, becoming a Christian, becoming one who belongs to God, does not mean that our lives are free from hard things. It doesn't mean that our lives are going to be free and easy of difficult and challenging obstacles. And so he thought that, well, I become a Christian, then everything should be sunshine and blue skies and come up roses for me. Well, that's not what God had promised him. This is not new. This isn't new. As we look into our Bibles, we see that the people of God have always had this sense of dissatisfaction with what God is doing. In Numbers chapter 14, in verse 26, hear the word of God. "How long will this wicked congregation complain against me? I have heard the complaints of the Israelites, which they complain against me." Now, we're going back, and you will remember God has brought them from a land of bondage. 400 years of servitude. 400 years of being under the thumb and the control of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And God, through an outstretched arm and a powerful fist, delivered them. And they passed through the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out. That God provided water for them, and he provided food for them. Were they ever satisfied with what God had done for them? Very rarely. And so they brought this complaint against God, and God says, "How long have I heard the complaints that the Israelites complain against me?" We call it whining, don't we? And what do we tell our kids when they're whining? Stop whining. Stop complaining. And that's what they were doing. They were complaining. They were whining against the care and the control of God. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 29. "Why do you bring charges against me? You have rebelled against me, declares the Lord." Why do you bring this suit against me? Why do you bring these charges against me, God says? Why do you, not only do you bring a charge against me, but you actually, you have the colossal gall to rebel against me. That God, I am not going to listen to you anymore. That I don't care what you say, I don't care what you do, I am not going to hear you. That was their stance. That was their mindset. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 17, "Yet your people say the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just." The way of the Lord is not fair. Have you ever thought that or even said that? That God, this isn't fair.
fair.
This isn't right. God, why? Brethren, we've all done that to some degree or another. The God, why are you doing this to me? God, why is this happening to me? God, where are you? And so that's what they were saying. That's what they were doing. The way of the Lord is not right. It's not fair. It is not just. And so they were, in effect, suing God or bringing a complaint against God. But let me tell you something, that all such suits against God are frivolous. We live in a land of frivolous lawsuits. You walk across my grass, I'll sue you. You look at me cross-eyed, oh, I'm going to take you to court. And this last, there was a suit that I didn't put on there. Maybe you just heard about it on the news, but there was a congressman down south, an assemblyman who wanted to sue God. In fact, the court threw the suit out and said, because we can't deliver it to his address. It was a frivolous lawsuit. It was groundless. It was baseless. It was without any foundation whatsoever. And so are our suits against God, our complaining against him. Look at this passage of Scripture. In Jeremiah, beginning in verse 4 of chapter 2. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me and followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through the land of the deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through the land where no one crossed, where no one dwelt. God says, what injustice, what unfairness, what fault have you found in me, or your fathers found in me, that you have cast me behind your back, that you have decided not to follow me? Show me where you are justified in your stance. Show me where there is a foundation for your complaint against me. And of course, we know that there was no foundation. There was no cause. There was no base for their claim against God. In verse 31 of the same chapter, O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, or a land of darkness? Why do my people say, we are lords, we will come no more to you? Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. You know, when I read that, I read a broken-hearted father who is saying, why are you doing this? What have I done wrong to you? How have I harmed you? Oh, generation, he says here, oh, generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to you? Have I been someone that you couldn't turn to for blessing and for help, for understanding, for direction? When have I been a barren place for you? God has always been that fruitful plain to which his people could turn for blessing and help. When have I been a land of darkness to you? When have I ever been this veil of tears for you? When have I ever been this darkness? Why do my people say that we will no longer follow you? And then he uses this very interesting contrast. Can a virgin forget her ornaments? That which shows that she's a virgin. That which speaks to the world of her purity, of her righteousness. She won't leave home without it. She won't forget her adornment. She won't forget that which sets her apart. When's the last time a bride showed up at the altar without her gown? Does she forget, oh, I forgot my gown. I got to go back. No, I tell you what, she sleeps in that dress, doesn't she? I'm not. She may forget a lot of things, but she won't forget that, because that is her wedding day. That is the day when she will be a spouse to her groom, her bride, forever. And so he says, my people have forgotten me days without number. Days without number. Men have never, never, and please understand, score this in our minds, never, ever had any legitimate grounds to bring a suit against God. All suits are specious, and they are wrong-headed, and they are wrong-hearted. And really what we need to do is to take a step back and look at ourselves and to understand that the fault is not with God. The trouble is with God. But where does it lie? Where is the confusion? Where is the misunderstanding? The trouble with us is me. But that's difficult to see that. Let's understand something about God. That God is righteous. God is not. God does not ever do the wrong thing. He always will do what is right. Job 34, verse 10 beginning. Therefore, listen to me, you wicked men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his works and makes man to find a reward according to his ways. Surely God will never do wickedness, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth? Or who appointed him over the whole world? If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish altogether and would return to dust. God will do what is right, and he will do what is right all the time. God will never do wickedness because it is opposed to who he is. He is righteous. I came across these words of Richard Strauss that I'd like to share with you. And this is a quote from A.W. Tozer. It is sometimes said that justice requires God to do this, referring to some act we know he will perform. This is an error in thinking, just as well as of speaking, for it postulates a principle of justice outside of God which compels him to act in a certain way. Of course, there is no such principle, for if there were it, it would be superior to God, for only a superior power can compel obedience. The truth is that there is not and never can be anything outside of the nature of God which can move him in the least degree. All of God's reasons come from within his created being. Nothing has entered the being of God from eternity, and nothing has moved out, and nothing has changed. Justice, when used of God, is a name given to the way God is. Nothing more. When God acts justly, he is not doing so to conform to an independent criteria, but simply acting like himself in given situation. God is his own self-existent principle of moral equity, and when he sentences evil men or rewards the righteous, he is simply acting like himself from within, influenced by anything that is not of himself. I couldn't have said that better. He is saying that God is righteous, that God always does what is right. There is nothing that moves God to do right. God is right. And so we can trust God. We can always depend upon God. Look at verse 16 and forward of Job 34. If you have understanding, hear this. Listen to the sound of my words. Should one who hates justice govern? Will you condemn him who is most just? Is it fitting to say to a king, you are worthless, and to nobles, you are wicked? Yet he is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the works of his hand. In a moment they die. In the middle of the night the people are shaken and pass away. The mighty are taken away without a hand, for his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness or shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. God doesn't care how much money you have. God doesn't care the prestige you have or the position that we may have. That doesn't compel God to do the right thing. He doesn't say, well, you know, Whit, you're the preacher here. And so, Whit, because you're the preacher here, you know what? I am going to overlook what you've done wrong. He didn't do that. He didn't say, Rennie, well, you're the preacher, so I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to show you partiality. There's no partiality with God. God does what is right all the time because holy and righteous is his name. It is who he is. And so, brethren, we need to understand that and cement that in our hearts when we are tempted to bring a charge against God. No, I may not understand what's going on, but my God who is righteous, he will always do what is right because he is right. And it is his being. So, where do we put the blame and the guilt? We need to look at ourselves. We stand before God, and God charges us. And we stand before God guilty as charged. Look at this passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 2 and verse 28. But where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise, if they can save you in the time of trouble, for according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Will you plead against me? You have transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I have chased children. No correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to you or a land of darkness? Yet my people say we are lords. We will come no more to you. And then the verse that we read before. Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why do you beautify your way to seek love? Therefore you also have taught the wicked woman her ways. Also your skirts are found, on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but plainly on all these things. Yet you say, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Surely I will plead my case against you because you say I have not sinned. God is saying, here you are guilty, Israel. You are guilty. I am the one who will bring a charge against you. I am one who will expose your sin and your fault. And it will not be by a secret search. It is something that is known before all men. But it is blind to you because you refuse to see it. And so, brethren, what is the point here? We need to see ourselves. We are the ones who should find ourselves at a guilty distance from God and then do the things that will bring us to repentance. God says here in the passage that we read once before, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horrified, be afraid, be very desolate, says the Lord. He's saying, let the hair on your head stand up. Yes. He's saying, take notice of this. Please understand this. That there are some changes that need to be made, and they're not with God. They are on our part, turning toward God and toward his will. In Micah chapter 6, in verse 1 and forward. Now hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Here's a very picturesque command that's given. Go out and talk to the hills. Go out before the mountains. Go and plead your case before all of nature itself. Go and bring your cause before them. And say, hear mountains the Lord's complaint, and loose foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a complaint against you, His people. The Lord is the one who has the complaint against us. We don't have any charges against Him. For the Lord has a complaint against His people, He will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. Let me ask you the question. What evil has God ever done to you? What wrong has God ever done to you or to me? Let's write it up on the board. Let's write it on the wall. Let's make a list. Let's catalog those things that God has done wrong. I can't come up with one thing. How has God ever offended me? How has He ever hurt me? How has He ever sinned against me? No way. But I am the one who has turned against God. I am the one who has offended Him. I am the one of whom God brings a complaint against because of my sin. I am the one who is guilty as charged. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember how what Barak, the king of Moab, counseled, and that Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from the acacia grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? How shall I give? Shall I give the firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Notice this: but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord want from you and from me? He says, I want you to stop your striving. I want you to stop your fighting. I want you to stop going your own way and trying to make your own path. What do you require? What do you want? I want you to walk humbly with me. I want you to commit yourself to me fully and finally, that I might bless you. Convicted. Guilty as charged. When God calls something sin, it is because it is sin. And let us call it by the same name. When God says that renting homosexuality is sin, when God says that fornication is sin, when God says that drunkenness is sin, when God says that hatred is sin, let me call it what God calls it. Let me call it sin. Let me not say, well, God, why? Why are these things wrong? Why are these things not right? Why can I do this? Why can I feel this way? But rather let me humble myself before God. And let me call sin what God calls it. Let us not lie and rail against the truth by ignoring or disregarding the Word of God. You know, God's Word is called the perfect law of liberty. And if we will look into the perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer but a effectual doer of the work, the Bible says that man shall be blessed in what he does. Let us not lie and rail against the truth. Let us not ignore it. Let us not pretend as though it doesn't exist. But rather, dear friend, let us stand convicted by the word. Jesus said that he was going to send the Spirit into the world, and he would convict the world of righteousness, of sin, and judgment to come. Let us be convicted by what God has to say. Because if we stand convicted by what God has to say, then we can make the necessary changes in our lives. And our lives can go in a new, in a different direction. Then, brethren, let us not fully charge God with wrong because we don't understand what He is doing. There are many times when I look back over the course of my life and I say, wow, God did some wonderful things. Because I have the benefit of looking back. But when I was in the middle of this, I didn't know what God was doing. I didn't know exactly how things were going to work out, how things were going to progress for. I didn't know because I was right there. But after they happened years, sometimes years after, you can look back and say, wow, that's what God was doing. That's why God hurt me like that. That's why I had to go through those challenges and through those difficulties. That's what you're doing. God, I didn't understand it then, and I certainly didn't appreciate it then. And brother, we need to get this. We need to really understand this, that we don't understand, we don't fully comprehend or appreciate all of the workings of God. God told his prophet in the long ago, Habakkuk, I'm going to use the Chaldeans to punish my people. That blew Habakkuk's mind. He just could not fathom how God could use this bitter and hasty nation to chastise his people. God, why are you going to do that? I don't understand that, God. I don't understand it, but I don't like it. And God told Habakkuk something that we need to understand, brother. He said, I'm working a work in your day. If it were told you, you would not believe it. Habakkuk, if you knew everything that I knew, it would curl your toes. I'm working a work in your day. If you knew, you wouldn't believe it. It would be too astounding. You're doing that? And you know what Habakkuk said after that? And I pray, God, it would be our response. The Lord is in his holy place. Let all the earth keep silent before him. God, let me just trust you more because you're righteous. You're in control. Because of that, everything is going to work out the way that it is supposed to trust you more. And so let us never foolishly charge God with wrong. God, you're wrong. God, you are, you know, usually when I was a little boy, I used to do this with my parents. And it didn't work, but I tried it anyway. You are so mean. You're the meanest mother. You're the meanest father. So mean. You're so unfair. And you know what my mother would do? Boy, still go clean your room. God, you're so unfair. This is not as though that's changed. Oh, you're right. Okay. We need to understand something about God. He sees something from the beginning to the end and in between. And he is always going to give to his people what is best for his people. But we need to trust him. Job said long ago, let God be true and every man a liar. That's Romans passage. But Job said this. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Even when he didn't know what God was doing. Even though he didn't understand that. He didn't charge God. He didn't bring a suit against God. And Job said, when all was said and done, he said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see you. God, I thought I had you figured out. God, I thought I knew what was going on. But now, my eyes see you. After all this is done, God, this is what you were doing. Now I understand. Suing God. It really doesn't make sense, does it? Charging God with wrong is never right. It really isn't. And what we need to do in the final analysis of all things is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And the promise is simple, and it is profound, that He will exalt us in due time. If you are here today and you're not a child of God, humble yourself. Humble yourself today, saying, God, I don't know all of the twists and turns that my life, why they've taken that, the way that they've gone, or where they'll go in the future, but I know this in the present, that I'm not where you want me to be. And I want to be where you want me to be today. Please help me to do that. Jesus said this. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That burden of sin you cannot carry. That burden of sin will crush us. In fact, that burden of sin we were not meant to bear. Someone has come to take that load off of our shoulders, off of our souls. And that one who came was Jesus. Let Him carry your sin today. Let Him wash you of your sin today. By confessing the good confession that Ryan made last night, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And He made Him His Lord last night. He was buried as Jesus was buried. And He was resurrected as Jesus was resurrected. That can be your present and your future today. Receive God's grace. If you're a Christian, you've been away from your Heavenly Father, come home. Come home today. Let Him forgive you. Let Him make you what you need to be. And that is in good standing with Him once again. Yes, sir. Please come while together we stand and sing the song of invitation.